retire December 31st. And so they're looking for a new pastor. So we're praying for him, as well as down at New Testament Baptist Church. So he was added into that. So if you're able to stand, go ahead and stand. We're going to John chapter 11, John chapter 11. Going to finish up what we started last week, and that is seeing some things that possibly we need to resurrect. So John chapter 11, we're going to read verses 25 and 26. John chapter 11, 25 and 26. And if you are there, say amen. Anybody frozen yet? You start singing that song, let it go, let it go. I'm frozen no more. John chapter 11, 25 and 26. We'll read 27 too. Amen. All right, let's go all together here. John 11, 25, 6 and 7. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Father, bless now the next moments we have as we look at the conclusion of this particular I am statement, the resurrection and the life. And Lord, I pray that we might leave here a little bit more knowledgeable about, Lord, what you want to resurrect in our own personal lives and what it is that we may need the resurrection power for. We thank you so much for being a God that loves us and continues to revive us and restore us and resurrect us at every turn whenever we need it, Lord. And I just thank you so much for loving me and our great nation, Lord. Help with the impeachment trial that's going on now. And Lord, may that be a black eye that we can put behind us and just go forward from this point and just praising you, Lord, and lifting up our leadership. Lord, whether we like them or not, the office is an office that you have ordained, and help us to pray for them. Work in us and work through us and help us to lead differently than when we came in. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. So far, we have been going through the Gospel of John, looking at John's reason for writing. And of course, we know it is to prove Jesus is the Son of God. And he's doing that by providing the signs and the statements. And we have been looking at the witnesses already, and now the I am statements. And we are on statement number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number one was, I am the bread of life. That means Jesus is everything we need to survive spiritually, physically, and eternally. Then we saw, I am the light of the world. Jesus is everything we need to see spiritually, physically, and eternally. Then number three, we saw, I am the door. Jesus is everything we need to enter eternal life and to handle life, amen, both spiritually, physically, and eternally. Then we saw, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is everything we need to shepherd our lives spiritually, physically, and how? Eternally. We are just finishing up, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is everything we need to resurrect or restore our lives spiritually, physically, and eternally. And I left us off with this statement. What is it that we need Jesus to resurrect in our own lives? Amen. And that's a good question. And follow me with a few things here. Notice verse number 43. Because, of course, Jesus is going to do this miracle to prove that he is the Son of God and that he is God Almighty. And so what he does here, he goes down to where Lazarus is at. They're weeping and moaning and crying. And he goes over to the tomb. He says, where is he at? They say, well, he's over there. But it has been 4 days. He's stinking by now. Hey, I'm sure he's stinking. And he said, roll the stone away. Amen. And they rolled the stone away. And he cried out, Lazarus, come forward. Notice down verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I have read commentaries that said he called Lazarus's name by choice, because if he had not, what might have happened if he just said, come forth? Everybody that was dead might have come out of the grave. And so some commentary said look, I'm being specific, because if he just said come forth, amen, guess what? Everybody's gonna come walking up out of there, amen. And so that's what some commentary say. I don't know, amen. But he did say come forth. Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Now, why did he have grave clothes on? Because he was in the grave. Amen. And don't you wear bedtime clothes when you go to bed? Amen. Bedtime clothes, there's work time clothes, there's sport time clothes, and there's grave clothes. Come on, Josiah, work with me. Don't you want to be buried in something nice? Back in these days, they kind of wrapped you around with some linen. Amen. And they probably took all your clothes off, all your jewelry off and all that, and just wrapped you with some linen. Amen. And so it said he was bound in some grave clothes, his foot and everything else. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Now, that's not talking about the napkin that you eat dinner with. Y'all know that, right? I know y'all thinking of napkin eating. No, not that kind of napkin. Amen. As some cloth, amen. But notice what it says. Jesus said, saith unto them, what? Loose him and let him go. And I made this point last week. There are certain things that when we get saved, we need to let them loose and let them go. Would y'all agree? Amen. There's certain things that we need to just let loose and let go. They're grave clothes. Let them go. We used to be wrapped up in grave clothes with the napkin about our face. Amen. When we got saved, know what Jesus said in essence to us? Loose them and let them go. That's an old life. Get rid of it. It's over. And so I said this. There's certain things about us that need continual resurrecting. I'm not talking about just once. By the way, is Lazarus going to be raised again? The Pharisees said, let's kill him. Again, now he was already dead once. They said, let's kill him again. Well, what could Jesus do if they killed him again? Duh. So what good would it do to kill him again? Amen. We have been raised from the dead. Amen. Notice Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Go back over there. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll come right back to John here in a minute. I'm going to ask you some questions here and pick your brain a little bit. Ephesians chapter number 2. And notice verse 1, we looked at this last week as we were closing, because this happened to you and I when we got saved. Verse number 1, and you hath he what? Quickened. That word means to be made alive. In other words, you and I were resurrected. We had life imputed to us, that spiritual life that we didn't have before. So what were we? Resurrected spiritually. You hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. What was Lazarus before? Dead in the grave with grave clothes on. Amen. With a napkin about his face. Amen. Notice down there in verse number 5. It said, matter of fact, read verse number 2. Wherein in time past you walked out according to the course of this world. According to what? The prince of the power of the air. Who is that? The devil, amen. The spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. Among whom also we who? All. So all of us had grave clothes on once upon a time. Even if you got saved when you were 4 or 5, you had on some grave clothes. Amen. They were little grave clothes, but they were still grave clothes. Amen. It says, we all had our conversation in times past in what? Lust of our flesh, doing what? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and what? And of the mind, and what? And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We had God's wrath against us when we had our old grave clothes on, doing the will of the devil. Amen? And what happened? We got saved. He said, loose him and let him go. Notice verse number 5. Even when we were what? Dead in sin, just like Lazarus was dead in the grave. Hath quickened us or made us alive together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and what? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, we're already in heaven with Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. We have reservations there already. Amen. Pastor and Mrs. White went to Hawaii last year. They had reservations. And they were going to be there eventually. Amen. They had already paid for it. It was a done deal. They just waiting to get there. And guess what? They got there. And guess what? Had fun and bought us back no pineapples. But they had fun, amen. What happened? It was a down payment made. It was already there. He said, we're already have a down payment. We're already sitting in the heavenlies. We're just not there yet, but it's waiting for us, amen. And so knowing that, go back to John. Because we already have been quickened or made alive or resurrected. We have been resurrected. So we need some continual resurrecting in our life as believers. I've got three key areas here that I believe need continual resurrecting. But before I get into these, let me see if anybody else is thinking like I am thinking. What are some things that you think for the Christian, this needs to be continually resurrected? Give me some input. Pastor White. Renewing your mind, that definitely needs to be resurrected, and that is on my list, amen. I've got three key areas, and Pastor White got one of them, amen. Anything else that needs continual resurrecting? Uh-huh. Prayer, that is another one on my list, amen. And there's one more area that's on my list as well. What needs continual resurrecting? Ms. Dawson? Praising, that's not on my list, but that does as well, amen. Now, by the way, if we're not praising God, oftentimes we're really not focused on how good God really is. And that means we're worrying about something. I'm glad Andrea praised God for the tax time. Tax Taco Tuesday. Amen. I mean, it could have been, you know, testing trial Tuesday. Amen. But it was Tax Taco Tuesday. Amen. They made this thing into a joy. Amen. And hey, guess what? You praise God. This is fun now. Amen. And what else? Is there something that you would say this needs a continual resurrecting in the life of a Christian? Yes. Church attendance needs a continual resurrecting. It really does. Now, just be honest. Are we always up for the big game? No, you're not always up for the big game. We're not always up for church. I mean, yeah, I've been playing sports for a long time. I wasn't up for every game, especially when I knew we was going to get beat down. We're going to play Joliet Catholic High. They won state champions 5 years in a row. And here we come. They were, we were about this size. They were about this size. They were about that big. We were about that big. The only thing that we had on them was speed. But you know when speed runs into a brick wall? You don't go too fast. So you can be as fast as you want to, and you hit that wall, guess what? You're going to stop. And they have plenty of brick walls, buddy. And we didn't get up for the game. We're not going to always get up for church. We're just not. And so sometimes that has got to be resurrected. Amen. Sometimes it's continual. What else that may need continual resurrecting? Yes, Miss Hall. Die daily. Amen. Crucifying that flesh. Amen. That's something that's continually a resurrection issue. Yes, Miss Lilia. Reading God's word, that is on my list, amen. I've got three areas here, and we're gonna talk about these very, very quickly here. I've got these three here. Our relationship with our Lord, that involves the prayer and all that, and Bible study. Number two, relationship with the new man, that's the new mind, amen, and the new man. And then the relationship with the new ways, amen. Why? We vacillate back in the old man's ways and new man's ways, don't we? If you're honest, we do. We just do. Folks, come on, now work with me. We're human. Nobody walks in the spirit all the time. Amen. So this first area that I believe that we need to loose and let go is a relationship with our Lord. We've got to get this down. What does 2 Timothy 2:15 say? Work with me here. Study to show thyself what? Approve what? Unto God what? A workman, what? That needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. And so this is what I put down for here. When it comes down to relationship with our Lord, it starts early in the morning or late at night or whenever you do your devotions. You've got to have a set time. You've got to have a place. You've got to have some prayer. You've got to have some preparation. And folks, this always has to be resurrected. Why does it always have to be resurrected? It can be ho-hum, you say? Well, you got to die to yourself, amen. And what else? It can be ho-hum, you got to die to yourself. I can be taken off my schedule, emergencies. There are priorities that seem to rise above my time with the Lord, amen, in my relationship with the Lord. And I get called to this or that, and I forget to pray about it because it seems more important to go to the issue than pray about the issue. Getting into the Bible early in the mornings, that is something that you have to habitually establish, that this is what I'm going to do. You've got to have a set place. You've got to get prepared. You've got to have something that you're going to read. It's got to be systematic. You can't do the flip and find method. Okay, I'm going to read this today. Let's see here. This. And Jesus said, thou shalt surely die. Well, you know, that doesn't help me at all. You know, Haman was hanged. Well, that's not going to really do me any good. The flip and find method doesn't do you much good at all. You've got to have some systematic time to get alone, to pray, to search the word of God, to say, okay, Lord, what do I need for today? Amen. And so one of the first areas that I found out is our relationship with the Lord, where I've got to have a place. I've got to have some prayer, got to have some preparation, got to have a prayer focus, got to get some devotional material in my hand. And by the way, you can read through the Bible in a year. We gave those out years ago. You've got different studies that are out there, different devotions. You've got apps for just about everything that you could think about that gives you a time to do things. Folks, if they're there, guess what we've got to do? Use them. Use them. That's what they're there for. I don't know what helps you better, but we've got to have that relationship with the Lord. It's got to be vital. It's got to be vibrant. And just like you really can't go a whole day without talking to somebody, you really can't go a whole day without talking to the Lord. You really can't. Now, can it be done? Yes. But you have a miserable day. You'll find yourself in the flesh more than in the spirit. Amen. So one of the things that I found out that I believe that needs continual resurrection, we need to loose and let go, is this relationship with our Lord. We've got to let go of the old ways of not having a relationship with the Lord and get involved in that relationship with the Lord. The second thing I found out is a relationship with the new man. Go to Ephesians chapter number four. Ephesians chapter number four. And we're going to spend probably the rest of the time over here in Ephesians chapter four. For the next 10 minutes we have, what do we got? Got about 8 minutes. Relationship with the new man. Ephesians chapter 4. And notice verse 22, because I believe resurrectionally speaking, the relationship with the Lord starts first. I get along with the Lord, find out what he wants from my life and what I need to do. And he is going to point me to this type of material. I've got to think like he thinks. I've got to think like Jesus thinks. By the way, I've got to walk like Jesus walks. If I'm going to walk like Jesus walks, I've got to think like Jesus thought. Notice Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Because this is the second area, not just relationship with the Lord, but relationship with the new man. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. What does that mean, the former conversation? The old man, the grave clothes, the way I used to act, the way I used to talk, the way I used to do things. The former conversation, the former lifestyle, the who? The old man. Did the old man help me do the will of God? Did he help me be a better coworker to my subordinates that I work with? Did it help me be better towards my boss, the old man? No, the old man probably tell the boss off. Tell him where to go, tell him how to jump in, give him directions, amen, and drive him there too. So the old man doesn't do you a whole lot of good on the job at school with your friends. And so he says, the former conversation, the old man, which is what? Corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. Corrupt. Corrupt means spoiled. How many of y'all like spoiled food? Hey, man, hey, don't mess your stomach up. You going to eat some bad bologna? Some bad liver? Ever smell bad onions? Bad eggs? You open that pot up, oh! Some people's behavior, they just come around you. I mean, they stink. You think, glory to God, you just have a bad disposition. You are stinky. You worse than a rotten egg. You smell like you came out of a sulfur volcano. Come on now. He said it's corrupt. The old man, corrupt according to deceitful lust. Sometimes our attitudes, just terrible. Attitude, children towards parents, parents towards husbands and wives, or mothers and fathers, or whatever. Just horrible. We look at it like, how could you be like that? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. There's some people that you get around and you're like, sometimes we're like that. Moms and dads get like that. Children get like that. Bosses get like that. Coworkers get like that. Christians get like that. Can you imagine a church full of hugs? People just walk in. They don't want to come back to the church no more. I'm out of here. Why? Everybody's got the old man on. He's corrupt. What is he? Spoiled like old lunch meat. He says, verse 23, and what? And be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means let it get resurrected. Get that old man out of there. Get rid of the, it's got to go. And get something in there. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on who? The new man, which after who? God is what? Created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. That smells good. No here. I mean, you don't open it up and go, it's like, You ever had some good air freshener? You're like, wow, that smells good. And why do we need air freshener anyway? To cover up the bad freshener. Amen. The bad stuff is bad. Amen. You get that stuff out there. Smells good. Why do you think they invented chewing gum? Just so you can have something to chew on? You can chew on a rock. Chewing gum is for a pastime. Chewing gum is supposed to freshen your... Why? You had the old rancid halitosis. But now you got the new spearmint Wrigley's gum. Even Bubblicious smell better than bad breath. Amen. Chew on some of that stuff. Smells good. Amen. Hey, he says the new man after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the relationship with the new man is something I believe that has to be resurrected. Why? We can have that old man on just like that. I mean, you can be in there having a good old day, looking at the watch. I get off in 5 minutes. And the boss comes in right when you're supposed to get off. You got to work overtime. You know what comes? We give him that look. Like, I am not working today. I am not working overtime. And if you think I am, and he shows you the pink slip, you're absolutely right. I'm working overtime. You're absolutely right. I'm working overtime today. But we don't like it. Then we go around. Customers come in. Can I have this? What do you want? Well, nothing from you. Hey, what does he say here? He says, wherefore, starting with this. Now, this is going into point number three here. Relationship with our Lord is number one. The relationship with the new man is number two. But then coming into number three, relationship with the new ways. Amen. Because we can vacillate back and forth. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away what? Lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Tell the truth. Amen. By the way, folks, we as Christians have a problem with lying. Just to be honest, we do. It's hard for us to tell the truth. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. If we say it, they might take it the wrong way. And we have got to have it seasoned with the Spirit of God. The new man, because the old man will say, just lie to them. They'll be all right. But there's a problem with that. I've been created in righteousness and true holiness, according to verse 24. So I can't lie. So I've got to learn how to tell the truth in what? Love. So I'm not going out to hurt someone's feelings. And so he says, putting away lying, the relationship with the new ways. I've got to get lying away and say, okay, God, how do I answer this question to not offend and to not hurt, but to be honest? And guess what I need to do that? The new man. The old man will tell you a lie. He'll tell you a lie. What else he says about this new man and these new ways, amen, in relationship with the new ways. He says down there, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. How many of y'all can be angry and sin not? Not many of us. We might as well say, be ye angry and sin. Amen. It's hard to be angry and sin not. Why? Because if you don't do it verbally, you do it up here anyway. He's saying, you old pig, mullet head, if I really told you what I thought, you wouldn't like it. Well, wait a minute. God hears that. And that's the old man. That's corrupt. That's the whore. God hears that. And he sees that. Just because they don't see it doesn't mean they have no heaven to put you in, no hell to put you in, no rewards to give you. That's God's job. And so we've got to make sure that the new man created in righteousness and true holiness comes forward, because that's what God sees. He sees a rotten attitude. He sees the anger. And by the way, the anger goes here. Then the angry words come here. And then the punch on the nose comes here. Amen. I get angry here. I think about punching them. They continue to push buttons and I push them on the nose. And guess what happens then? You're in trouble. Now there's a pink slip coming again. Amen. What else is about this old, these new ways, relationship with new ways? Amen. He says, put away lying, be angry, sin not. Verse number 28 or 27, neither give place to the devil. 28, let him that stole steal no more. Now, by the way, we're sophisticated, so we don't steal, do we? But what are some things that Christians do steal? And I've got the list right here. There's one main thing that Christians steal on a regular basis. And I'm not talking about the tithe either. Time. The average Christian is a sophisticated thief that steals time from our bosses, from our wives, from our husbands, from our children, from our church, from God. We are sophisticated thieves. Let's just be honest. Because we're not going to go out and go to the grocery store and steal something. That's just too obvious. We're not going to go over here and steal someone's car. That's just too obvious. We're not going to go back and steal something from Josiah because it's Green Bay, and we're not going to take that. We don't want that. We're sophisticated thieves. We're going to steal time from our husbands, time from our wives, time from our children, time from our parents, time from our job, time at lunch break, time from God, time at church. We're going to take time there. We're sophisticated stealers, and we're undercover about it. Well, God still knows, and we still get in trouble. The new man, the new ways, folks, because we're not going to go out and be overt stealers. We know it's not right. So we're going to do this undercover. Relationship with the new ways, lying, angry, stealers. He said, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that need it. Number 29, what else do we have? Speech, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. By the way, you got to think it before you say it. What do we say sometimes? Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. You just didn't mean for it to come out. You meant to say it because you said it up there. You just didn't mean for it to come out because you were saying it under your breath. My mother caught me one time. She told me to do something. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. She said, what'd you say, boy? Mom, do I have to tell you what I said? Because if I tell you what I said, you're going to whoop me good. She said, boy, you better tell me what you said. Well, let's just put it this way. After I said it, I regretted even just thinking it. Because the consequences were grave and severe. And my tongue said, you're a bad boy. Don't you ever say anything like that again. Man, I ain't say that no more. You say it no more. Hey, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What am I talking about? Relationship with the new ways constantly has to be resurrected. We are professionals at what we say because we think it first and we don't tame it with the Spirit of God. And we don't tame it with the Spirit of God. It's not created in righteousness and true holiness. And it comes across the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt, according to verse number 22, according to deceitful lust. So what else? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, verse 29. But that which is what? Good to the use of edifying, that it may what? Minister grace unto the hearers. Another area that we have to continue to work on is relationship with the new ways, is the Spirit of God. And grieve not who? The Holy Spirit of God. By the way, if you are saved, the Holy Spirit will warn you before you say it, not to say it. he would normally warn you not to say it. You really don't want to say that. You really don't want to do that. You really don't want to go there. You really don't want to do this. You really don't want to make that decision. He kind of puts up that stop sign. You know what we do? Like the cartoons, run them slap over. Oh, was that you, Holy Spirit? I thought that was indigestion. We run the Spirit of God right over him. And he's grieved. And guess what happens to us? Then we're grieved. Because we grieve him, he grieves us. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're shielding to the day of redemption. You can't get away. He is there. He's there for a reason, to seal you, to preserve you, to help you. Amen. And he gives you a laundry list down here in verse 31. I call this etc. What does he say? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He put that all in one sentence there. And it's not even a sentence. There's a colon at the end, a semicolon at the end. Oh, was that colon, semicolon? What is that? Colon, okay. Amen. And be ye kind, he says, on top of that, loaded with all the rest of that. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the etc. So what did he say? He says, basically, the relationship with your new ways is stemming from the relationship with the new man, which is starting with your relationship with the Lord. Those are three key areas that I believe need to be resurrected in the Christian continually. None of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. And we will fall in these areas. And so there's a continual resurrection that's necessary. We've got to get those grave clothes off, take off that napkin, get on out there, get my mind in tune with the Lord, and get my relationship with a new man in tune, and get those new ways in tune. Why? Because they will constantly go into the grave with the old man. And it's a continual thing. Folks, I'm no different than you. I struggle with all these as well. I struggle with them too. Say, preacher, well, why are you preaching it? Because we need to hear it. We need resurrection power. What did Jesus say? I am the resurrection and the life. I have the power to resurrect and restore your lives spiritually, physically, as well as eternally. This helps us to come to grips with the knowledge that this is not just for Lazarus. This is not just getting me to heaven. This is helping me on a daily basis to know that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He will restore our spiritual lives daily and moment by moment if we let him. Folks, the last thing you want to do is walk around with a corrupt lifestyle. It doesn't smell good, and God is not pleased with it, and we're supposed to be resurrected. Amen. Let's work on saying, Lord, resurrect me today. Lord, resurrect my life today. With my time with you, resurrect me. Help me in this area. And Paul gives you a laundry list of what needs to be resurrected and why it needs to be resurrected, starting in verse 22. So he gives you, this is what needs to happen. This is what needs to happen. Relationship with a new man needs a resurrection. Relationship with our new ways needs a resurrection. Relationship with our Lord needs a continual resurrection. Amen. Next week, Lord willing, we'll see I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for, Lord, just being with us and giving us the understanding of certain things in our life will need a continual resurrection. And we'll need these things in our lives resurrected continuously because we struggle with them, Lord. Work in us and work through us, God, and help us to continue to do that which is pleasing in your eyes and in your sight, Lord. And help us to leave here resurrected.